who desired the beauty of the Lord. Sounds like I've got a mic now. I don't have to scream. Some today desire fleshly beauty because it appeals to the flesh, and we're told in Psalms 31 and verse 30 that favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. Some desire the beauty of nature more than God. You know, how many people are out today fishing or golfing or just vacation, sightseeing, and not worshiping God? Let's take a few moments here real quick and look in the book of Psalms in chapter 144. Psalms 144 in verse 15. It reads, "Happy is that people that is in such a case, yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord." And also in the next, chapter 146 in verse 5. "Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord, his God." So we see here that David had his priorities right. He knew that a right relationship with God, it brought happiness. Where do we stand in our worship and desire for worship today? Do we say with David, as I referred to earlier in Psalms 122 and verse 1, where he said, "You know, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." Or is it, "You know, I was glad when they said, let's go to the ball game," or "let's go fishing," or "let's go shopping"? Let's build more interest in spiritual things. You know, we all need to do our part in making our worship service enjoyable and desirable. You know, I've been in many congregations, you know, from West Virginia and around here. I've seen, even in fire departments I've been on, you know, we can all, most, what do we have here, 120, 130 members here. Most of us could be very desiring to do the work here, doing everything we can to do what's right. And then there's always that one person that's just sour, complaining about something. And that one person leads to two people. And then it leads to three people. And the next thing you know, we've got one side of the congregation, and then we have the other side of the congregation. One side goes out the back door and one out the front door. So we all need to work together to make ourselves desirable and enjoyable in doing what we're supposed to do. Next, I'd like to look at one thing that we lack in Mark 10 and verse 21. If you would go ahead and turn there, we're going to read a few verses there. Mark 10, starting with the 17th verse. "And when he had gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these things I have observed from my youth. And Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said, One thing you lack. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven. And come, take up your cross, and follow me." You know, this man measured up unusually well. He had kept the commandments from his youth, and we can see that he strongly was interested in obtaining eternal life. However, like many of us, he lacked one thing. Jesus knew the very thing this man needed. His problem was love of money, wealth, possessions. How about us? Is there anything we lack? About everyone here has something they could change in their life. It may be the habit of smoking or too many prescription drugs. It may be the controlling of our mind or the controlling of our speech. It could be the thought of too much thought in money, wealth, and possessions, as this man. You know, it might even be the obedience to the gospel. If you're not a Christian, don't you think when the Lord comes back, he's certainly going to say, You know, one thing you lacked. Over in John, another lengthy reading, John 9, we find another thing we need. It's one thing we know. John 9, we'll start with the 15th verse. Just to give you a little heads up of what's going on. There was this blind man sat at this gate, and he saw Jesus come, so he went over and asked him to heal him. And, you know, Jesus put the clay on his eyes and said, go wash. And I hope I pronounce this right. He said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. And once he was then healed, and the people knew this man from his birth, and knew he was blind from his birth, and now he could see. So they were trying to figure out what was going on here. And they accused Jesus of being a sinner for about every imaginable thing. And that brings us up to the 15th verse here. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received a sight. And he said unto them, he put clay upon my eyes, and I washed, and I do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. They say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him that he had opened thine eyes? He said, he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him, and they asked, or that had received his sight, and they asked them, saying, is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then he now see? His parents answered and said, we know that this is our son, and that he was born blind, but by what mean he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents, because they feared the Jews. The Jews had already agreed that if any man did confess that this is Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents again, he is of age, ask him. Then again called they the man which was blind, and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. And he answered and said, whether he be a sinner or not, I know not. But one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, I now see. Here in this reading, we see that the once blind man was questioned about the things that have been transpired. We see where Jesus of Nazareth had healed him, and that the Jews accused him of being a sinner. However, the one once blind man testified, this one thing I know. He had been blind, and now he could see. As a result of being healed, he went on to demonstrate great faith, as we see in the reading. Some of us here this morning may not be the most knowledgeable Christian, me. But this one thing we know, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And being convicted of this fact, we will live a life according to His will. If you will, turn to 1 Timothy 6. Verses 11 through 14, we see here that Jesus is the Lord of our lives, and that we have and need to continually confess His name. Verses 11 through 14. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art called, and have professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. And also, while we've got our Bibles handy, go over to Hebrews, the 4th chapter. In verse 14, Hebrews 4:14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. You know, we are like the blind man. We all were once blinded, you know, blinded by sin, living in darkness. But now we can see through the light of the life, through Jesus Christ. One final passage on this point in John, the 8th chapter. John 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Jesus has made it very clear to us today of the one thing we need to know. Next of all, one thing is needful in Luke 10 and verse 42. Luke 10 and verse 42. Actually, let's start in the 38th verse. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. We're going to stop there for right now. We see here that Martha was trying to be a good hostess. You know, that was the thing to do in that age. And she was complaining because Mary, her sister, was not helping her. But what did Jesus reply to her? Verse 41 and 42. Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Mary was wise enough to know what was more important. Just a little tidbit here. I found out that Mary was mentioned 3 times in the Bible. And each time she was at the feet of Jesus. We see here in this reading, at John 11, verses 1 and 2, at the anointing of Jesus' feet, and also in John 11 and verse 32, when Jesus was raised. You know, there is no doubt that the preparing of meals is important so we can take care of our bodies. But it is not as important as feasting on the Word of God. You know, I once heard of this preacher that visited a congregation to preach for them one Sunday afternoon. You may have heard the same story. There was a sister from that congregation that had stayed home from worship to prepare a dinner for this visiting preacher. You know, as soon as he heard of this, he refused to go to her house. That made the sister awful angry. You know, she spent so much time preparing this meal, and now he doesn't have the courtesy to come over and see what talent I have. But that preacher that day taught that lady an important lesson. One she'll never forget. And I admire his courage for taking a stand like that. I know I couldn't pass up a good meal, but I admire his courage. Many of us fail to put the Lord first in our life. We are like Mary or Martha, and we're worried and troubled about many things. And what does Luke 8 and verse 14 say about the cares of the world? You know, it tells us that the cares of the world will choke out the Word of God. Go ahead and turn over to Philippians, the 4th chapter. Philippians 4 and verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. If we're concerned too much of worldly things, what do you think Jesus will say to us today? He'd say, Jason, one thing is needful. Choose that good part which shall not be taken away from you. Next we find one thing I do in Philippians, the third chapter. Philippians 3, verse 13 and 14 we'll read. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reach forward unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark, the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know, I'd like to just take a few moments real quick and look at a few more scriptures. In Philippians 4 and verse 9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. What'd that say? Let me read that again. Those things which ye have both learned, received, and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. And also in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1 says, be ye followers of me, even as I am of Christ. We find in these passages that Paul encourages us to follow and imitate him because he imitates Christ. One thing he did was to forget about his past, which we all know Paul had quite a bad past, but he reached forward to the things that laid ahead. You know, when Paul wrote this, he was old. He was a prisoner of Rome. He had accomplished many things in his life for the Lord, yet he still wanted to do more. And we know that Paul put great effort to reach that mark. There are many things that we should forget and reach forward to in our lives. We need to forget our former denominational religion. Forget it and follow after truth. We need to forget past hurts and reach forward to love. Forget past mistakes and reach forward to righteousness. Forget past accomplishments and reach forward to more work in the Lord. There are many scriptures like Luke 13 and verse 24 where it tells us that many will seek to enter and should not be able. So we need to, like Paul, strive with great diligence to reach that mark. Finally, if we do this one thing, what are we told in 2 Peter 1 and verse 10 and 11? 2 Peter 1, 10 and 11. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Go ahead and get your psalm books out. You know, I practice. It seems like I'm just going to take forever, and it takes no time at all. So. Today we've learned some spiritual applications on a very common expression of one thing. If we examine ourselves by these one things, we will be able in our dying day, be as Paul in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 5 and 8, where it says, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, with which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love is appearing. Have we fought the good fight of faith? And are we certain that there is a crown of righteousness laid up for us in heaven? If not, why aren't we making a change? Like I said before, I know there are people here that hold grudges against each other for no apparent reason other than maybe some hurt feelings, and they don't want to change anything. And on the other hand, I know there are people that know that someone has something, or they may have said something to offend someone, and they don't want to go up to them either. I like to look at one final passage in Matthew 8. In verse 15, and then verse 18 and 19. It says, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he hears you, thou hast gained thy brother." Verses 18 and 19. "Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that thou shalt ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven." You know, there's nothing more discouraging to younger Christians than to see adults acting immature and holding grudges against each other for something so small, but yet, in return, it'll keep them out of heaven. Brothers and sisters, do you want to go to hell because pride got in the way and wouldn't let you do that one thing that you need to take care of? Please, make changes in your life tonight or today as together we stand and sing.